Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Middle Please Umpire, a brand new cricket podcast with me, Miles Jupp, and my new opening partner, my co-host, England's World Cup winning pace man himself, Mark 95 miles an hour Wood. Together, we're going to be talking about cricket. I'm going to be finding out all the things I want to know about being an international cricketer. Lord alone knows where Mark's mind will take him. And best of all, we're going to be bringing in a guest for each episode. Let's go.
Mark, very nice to see you. Last time we were together, of course, that I saw you in the flesh was last summer when you went to the bother of very kindly winning the Cricket World Cup. And I was at the Warner stand about five. Do you remember? About five rows back.
Oh yes, that's right. You've got your World Cup win medal haven't you? That's right. Yeah, just behind us.
Everyone in the photo. Yeah. Blue shirt. Sun hat.
You won't.
Very few people like me were at Lord's that day. You'd have struggled to miss it. Do you know what? I was trying to think about pressure. I experience occasional pressure, but not the sort of pressure that you would experience that day. And I was thinking about the Super Over. Before the Super Over started, I'm in a crowd of people singing inexplicably Sweet Caroline, a song that I had no idea I even knew the lyrics to up until that point. I don't know if that's to do with 5G or whatever, but somehow we all knew what was happening. What's going on in the dressing room while we're all pointlessly singing?
Well, it was no one was singing Sweet Caroline, I'm going to show you that. Aleem Dar's in the room, the match referee. I'm trying to tell Aleem that my side is torn and that I can't go on the field, that's the least of his troubles.
And he was saying, you can't be injured, Mark.
Yes, that never happens. I don't know how he was so surprised. And then he says to me, look, do what you want. James Vince, and give him a nudge and say, James, unfortunately, you're going to have to take the field in the Super Over. That's not that much pressure. You'll be absolutely fine. Just watch the ball and everything will be great. But it was a bit chaotic in there. Those lads didn't know the rules. Believe it or not, in the World Cup final, no one knew how many we needed, if we needed to do this or that.
I thought we'd lost. When you were run out, I thought that we'd lost. They had to explain over the tannoy to the fans in the ground.
Well, I actually went to Ben Stokes when I came on the field and said to him, look, mate, do you know what's happening? I thought he was trying to speak to the umpire at the side, and he completely blanked me, so I assumed that he knew what he was doing. And of course, he patted a full toss straight to mid-on, which suggested that he didn't know what he was doing, because he should have hit it about 30 rows back like he was doing for the rest of the afternoon.
But amazing, an amazing time, amazing thing to be part of. And I think you have a thing at the moment as well, because you kind of play the way in which you're managed. You sort of only play the pressure games. When was the last time you played a relaxed game of cricket? And I'm not saying like if you're sort of mid-table clash, county championship or whatever, it doesn't count. But a game that was not high pressure.
Does one hand, one bounce count in the street or...?
Yeah, no, that is proper pressure. That's, I mean, that's the highest level of cricket I've ever played.
I'm still feeling pressure there. No, I think for a while I haven't played any sort of, especially for England, because I'm in out all the time with injury and things like that, and it seems to be, I've been very lucky that it's fallen on my sort of injury record that I haven't been, apart from the big tournaments, I played in the Champions Trophy, in the World Cup, I was available for the Ashes in 2015, so big moments in your career that you want to be available for, I have. But am I right in saying that you're now fully fit and ready for action again?
I am back. It's been, I mean, a long way back, and some people said it couldn't have been done, but I've just worked very hard, and essentially... well, I'm in an early stage of it. What they're doing, because of what I'm doing is a sort of endurance style, I'm at the carb loading phase. And they've got 6 months of that, and then it's a matter of working off again. But I'm looking at you, and I think, how does that man propel something at 95 miles an hour? Whereas for me, my athleticism, it's sort of more apparent for you, isn't it? There's no...
exactly, yeah, exactly.
There's none of the mystery about me. The bubble, then. You've just been... I mean, perhaps you live in many ways. You live your whole life in a bubble, Mark. But you
in my own head, definitely. Yeah.
Inside Mark Wood's head. the bubble, then. You've just been there. For how many months have you just basically existed in a kind of soup of England cricketers?
Well, every time you've said the word the bubble, the first thing that comes to my head is, hello, darkness, my old friend, as I've just been sat in my room for... you know, 3 months at a time. I think that the hardest thing about it has been, you know, usually you get to go out, you get to see the area. If you're on tour, you get to see the area, you get to local restaurants, you get to meet the people, experience the culture. Being at home, obviously, you get exactly the same down in London or Manchester or Birmingham, wherever we may be.
Because you're that close to Southampton, but you can't really see it.
So yeah, we can't do anything. Well, I mean, I'm really pleased that ECB kept the games close for me to travel up and down. I mean, Newcastle or Southampton's just around the corner, so it was nice and easy for me to just jump in a car and get nice and close. But I think the hardest thing for someone like me was we couldn't spend a lot of time in each other's rooms and things like that. So on a night time, I was sort of sat in my room by myself, and there'd be times I was counting.
Whereas normally at night, you'd be in somebody else's
room. Yeah.
I'm learning so much about you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I counted, there was 65 flowers and paintings in my room, and at one point I was counting how many, because the restaurant downstairs at the Aegeus is called Beefy's, so I tried to count how many pictures Eden Botham was in. There was 26, I think, that I could count on the back wall.
This is sort of like prison stuff. You're sort of
yeah, 60. But for someone like me, I actually found it quite hard being in the bubble where you couldn't, if cricket was on, it was fine. It was the days off that I found most difficult, just because if I didn't play Call of Duty or I didn't play golf, which a lot of the lads did, then I was sort of alone in my room with my own thoughts. And
that's good.
It's where no one
I
wants
can tell
to be,
that from
put
here
that way.
Mark, that is no good. who was best equipped to handle the bubble, and was there anyone worse equipped than you to handle it? Did anyone absolutely lose it?
You don't want to be anywhere near Johnny Best, though, because he's a typical rugby fan, Yorkshire lad. He's got the widest back in the whole of England. And if you're anywhere near him, he just had to let some sort of rugby or anger out. So he would constantly rugby tightly against a wall or against a door or something like that.
See, it's very prison, isn't it? The whole atmosphere.
I mean, if you heard the word scrum down, you were diving in any sort of bit you could. But I think probably the people that handle it best, I mean, Jofra had a great time because he's a big gamer, so Call of Duty, I mean, you'd be in a corridor and at sort of 11, 12 o'clock at night, all you hear is, he's in there, get down, he's in there! And you realise that Jofra's on Call of Duty again. I think Stokesy had a great time on the golf course. I'm not a big golfer myself, but... I think anything they can do to switch off and not think about the game benefits them.
What? Because your like attitude to life. You make jokes about things and you sort of ask about. I suppose, are there people? Obviously, some people for a team atmosphere, that's really good fun. But who are the people you think? Well, you know, you can get within 10 meters of them, and you're about to say something funny, and you think, not today, actually.
Yeah, you've got to be careful. You've got to choose your victims victims-wise. I remember once in Adelaide with Trevor Bayliss, the England coach, I had this thing where I would pretend to sort of grab a coach or nip somebody just on that side as they went by, give them a little bit of a buzz. And of course, Trevor is not the man that you want to do that. Being an Australian, they have a very alpha mentality. And Trevor then dropped his tray of food and started to drive his elbow into my cheek on the floor and said, "If you ever do that to me again, I'll." And since that day, I've never touched Trevor again. So even when we won the World Cup, it was virtual high fives, virtual hugs, and thanks very much, Trevor.
Well, that was just a short trailer of the enlightening conversation to come. We have much more to uncover about Mark, of course, hidden depths, as well as some great guests that we hope that you'll really enjoy. The first full episode of Middle Please Umpire will drop any day now, so stay tuned to your favourite podcast provider, and please do support us by hitting the subscribe button, as this also makes sure you never miss a delivery. You can keep in touch with us at Middle Please Umpire on both Instagram and Twitter. I'd just like to take a moment to thank our sponsors who have helped make this podcast possible. Cricketer's Gin is the perfect pairing for tonic, but also this podcast, as they also believe in creating something enjoyable around the sport we love. You can find this wonderful cricketing tipple at cricketersgin.com, and we thank them for their support. There is a special 10% discount if you use the code POD. Thanks to Mark and everyone behind the scenes, Middle Please Umpire is an Electric production in association with Playback Media.
Sports Social Podcast Network.